So today I want to share some concepts that are help us on our spiritual journey, okay? Not only on our spiritual journey, though, these concepts can really help us with our goals for 2019, with any ventures that we have for the new year. And a lot of what you'll hear over the next couple weeks are lessons I learned while I was training and running an actual race. I've ran 2 half marathons in the last couple years, and it's been tough, but very rewarding. And I've learned a lot in the process. You're going to hear that word now a lot. You're going to, process. All right. So being a good preacher, came up with a little acronym. All good preachers can make up some good acronyms. So we'll touch on 4 things that are characteristic of living the path life. First, we got to push start, right? Then we have to learn how to run at our pace. So run at your pace. Along the way, we become trailblazers, and we have to remember that it's all about finishing. So we are here to finish. Amen? All right, so let's press the start button on this sermon, and it starts with pushing start. Now, we live in a society where everything has a, like, easy push button, right? I mean, to start anything you want, right? I mean, the microwave, your Keurig, I mean, anything you want, you can just press start and boom, you got it. I remember the day when our cars weren't that easy to start. I remember my cars that weren't that easy to start. You know, I remember having to put the car in neutral, get a little push going to get it start going down the road a little bit with the door open. You know that whole thing, the door open. Y'all remember that? And you push it, steering wheel. You push it. It starts going. And what do? You jump in the car, crank that thing up, and then you got to press the gas button even more. I had a car that when I stopped at a red light, I had to put that bad boy in neutral or it would turn off. Yeah. So it wasn't that easy to start cars. Now all you got to do is, like, you don't even need a key. Like, you just got to have a key near and just boom. Some of us don't even need to have a key near. I mean, some of us can start the car. Like this morning, you probably start the car from your pocket and your keychain. Just got it going. It was heated up before you got into it, right? And I wish life was that easy to get started. I wish our goals were that easy to start. Just press push. Man, that would be incredible, but it's not that easy. For some of us, it takes a lot to get started, to get going. There's so many things that hold us back. So many things. You know, I remember training for my half marathon, and man, the hardest thing about training, anybody that works out, anybody that has New Year's goals to be healthier, the hardest thing for me was just to get out the house. Just get out the house. Man, I'm sitting there, I wake up, man, I start trying to justify, well, if I don't run today, then I can run twice tomorrow, or man, the weather isn't quite right, it's in the 40s, like, I'll wait till it's in the 50s. I mean, I don't know about you, but I battle in my mind just to get started. Put on my sneakers and step out of the house. That's half the battle. I don't know how some of y'all work out in the house. That's why some of y'all have bought, you know, we got the little treadmill in the house and it's just collecting dust. It's hard to work out in the house. They end up in garage sales, right? And there's something about just getting out of the house. And then once I was out, I was good. Because it's not in my character to quit. So I'm out there. I'm going to go. And I'm going to finish it. I'm going to do my workout. And once we get out there, we can go then. So, but why? Why is it so hard to push start? Why is it so hard to even push start in our relationship with God? When there's different things in our character that we want to grow in. We want to grow in our intimacy with God, or in our Bible knowledge or wisdom or humility, whatever it may be. Why is it so hard to just get going, right? We know we got to fast. We know we got to work on our prayer life. Why is it so hard to press start? You know, why is it so hard when we know we got to change our lives? When we know we ain't living right, right? Why is it so hard just to take that first step to be at church? Just to go to church, just to open up our Bible. So I know some of us are here today trying to push start on your spiritual lives. Amen. That is half the battle. We can clap it up for that. We want to encourage you. You are on the right track. You're on the right path. You have push start. That is a huge piece of getting going spiritually. But why is this so hard? There are a few things that hold us back. First thing, procrastination. Procrastination. We just love to say we are pushing things back. Some of us, if we didn't have a deadline at work, it would never get done. If we didn't have to turn in homework the next day, we would never do it. And then we talk about we work best under pressure. No, you have had to evolve because of your laziness. And how do you know you work best under pressure if you've never tried to do it like from before? That's all you had. So of course you think you did good, right? Man, I got it done, and it was amazing. But what would it look like if you did the research? What would it look like if you planned? What would it have looked like? Some of us, we don't know. Let's talk about we work best under pressure. Laziness is, some of us really struggle with laziness. There's times I struggle with laziness. I mean, that's just part of, we want to be comfortable, right? Oh, man. I mean, and the Proverbs talk about laziness all the time. And, you know, we can mask laziness because we're doing stuff, you know, but we ain't really doing stuff, but we try to fool ourselves with doing stuff, you know, like we're watching TV or we're scrolling through Facebook. We're active. We're doing something. Well, we ain't doing what we're supposed to be doing. Procrastination. I'll get to it next week, next month, next year. I'll get to it. The other thing is fear of failure. Fear of failure. It's so easy for us to, in our minds, we chart a path of the worst possible situation. And we can think about how this is going to fail instead of the 10 ways that it can succeed. And, you know, the fear of just what the results will be. If I put all my effort into this and it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out. This is a fear of failure. Man, what if I step out of the boat and I sink? Then there's insecurities. And that's fear of us ourselves not having what it takes. Us ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we look at ourselves, you know, either physically or even emotionally, spiritually, and we're evaluating ourselves. We're like, I just don't think I can do what you're asking me to do, God. I just don't think I have what it takes personally to get to that place and accomplish the things, God, that you have put on my heart. I just don't know if I got that. And all of us have struggled with insecurities and struggle with insecurities. So we look at our weaknesses. We look at the innate resources that we don't have. And then another one can be just a lack of physical resources. Like, I want to do this, but I don't have the money for this. I want to do this, but I don't have the network for this, all right? I don't have the equipment for this. I look around, and I don't have it. So why even get started? And, you know, all of those reasons are very faithless reasons because we take God out of the equation. Now, if we were spiritual, The best times where I've been the most faithful and the best times I've done spiritually is when I face the fact that I don't have what it takes, because we don't. In of myself, I don't have what it takes to do what God has called me to do. I don't. I'm too sinful, man. I am way too sinful to be a preacher. I don't have what it takes to be a leader, to serve in this way, to be involved in this, to be involved in that. In and of myself, no, I cannot. But we can use that to make God bigger than us. I can't, but you can, God. And that puts us in a place where it's all about God, right? And then at the same time, God created us. God has given us talents. God's given us abilities. And it's really healthy to be able to have healthy self-evaluations. Where it's like, well, what are you good at? Really, it's okay to say you're good at stuff. It's okay. God has gifted you. God himself created you. You better be good at something, right? I mean, we're talking about God here, right? All of us have talents and abilities and special things about us. It may be different. That's just biblical because God created us. We've got to have a healthy self-evaluation. Now, lastly, another thing that holds us back And I will say, this is a good thing or it could be a bad thing. Planning. Planning. We can plan. We're like, man, we can plan to plan to plan. Like, you ever been part of a group that said, okay, let's get together so we can plan when we can get on a call so we can plan to meet. And in that way, we can really plan what we're going to do for the new year. That's a lot of planning. By that time, you're going to be done. You're like, man, I'm done. I'm not even going to. There's no way. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 in verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4 says, as farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Or let me put it in some term that we may understand a little bit better, you know, because we are the pastor. You ever heard of this? Study long. Okay. Study long, study wrong. It's like if you just keep waiting and waiting and planning and thinking, sometimes you never get it done. If you're waiting for the right situation, for the right moment, that moment may never come. And so many times God just calls us to step out in faith, say, I'll be with you as you go. Study long, study wrong. Now, some of us, we've been justifying our laziness, our fears, our insecurities by saying we're waiting on the right time. Or we're waiting for God to make it clear. Now, that may be true. You got to evaluate your own heart because there may have been open doors already. And it may be that God is waiting on you. Maybe that God is waiting on you. Yes, we need to count the cost. Yes, we need to plan. Yes, we need to be wise. But at some point, we got to trust God and move forward in faith. Amen? A couple verses down in verse 6, it says this. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. For our business-minded people, diversify your portfolio. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just push start on one thing. Push start on several things and see what God makes clear. It's like, okay, I'm going to keep moving in this direction. If I'm looking for a job, that means that I'm just going to try to get this one job and this one thing and this one company and this one pay. No, say, well, I'm going to put my stuff out there and I'm going to pursue those things and then I'm going to see what doors God closes. We hate closed doors. We always pray for open doors. I think we should pray for closed doors. Sometimes closed doors give us more direction than open doors. Right? Because we know where we can't go. Right? We should be more at peace about where we can't go. Well, that's done. I got to go somewhere else. Sometimes we have a bunch of open doors. That's harder sometimes. It's like, well, which one do you want me to go through? Right? Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. I've been doing all the stuff I've been preaching to y'all about. God has put on my heart. I've been wanting to write a book. That's just a dream of mine. Dream of mine to write a book. I love writing. I loved writing since I was in high school. That's what I love to do. Even writing sermons. I've written scripts for TV. I mean, for news and for different shows. I mean, it's just something I like to do and something I'm dreaming about doing, right? And so Mike, time to time, we'll say, you know, it's time to go ahead and write your book, brother. And I'm like, man, I got a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old. I'm like, man, I don't got no time, but I want to. He did it again a few weeks ago. You know, I think you can do this. Just a little workbook. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, man, I want to. And then I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do the little workbook. Like, I want to do the real thing. Like, and I'm struggling through this. I'm like, okay, it's 2019. I got to start. I got to really go after this. And so what I did was I started, you know, telling some folks about it, trying to get some advice, seeing if some of my friends have any connections with publishers. What do I do? How do I get started? I even called my high school English teacher. Well, I hit her up on Messenger. I was like, hey, I need a favor. I need like a writing coach, somebody to hold me accountable. And it's like, all right, great. You want to talk this weekend? I said, man, it was so, after the weekend, it was so busy. We need to revisit this in the new year. I ain't talked to her, but I'm just being real. I ask for your prayers because I'm going through it with you. All right? So what I did learn from that situation and things I'm trying to incorporate, there's a few things, four things that I think can help us to push start. One, pray. Pray. There's a humility there when we're praying, we're asking God to help us. There's a faith there when we're praying. We're making it about God. We get a chance to tap into the supernatural. God can do things with our goals and our plans that we could never even dream of or imagine. And we understand, hey, I cannot do this on my own. And then just praying about it keeps it on the top of our minds. That's just very practical, right? Number two, tell. Tell somebody that you're starting. Just it's good to get advice. It's good to have accountability. I'm in the middle of my 40-day fast or abstaining, just like I did last year to get clarity. And so there's some things I gave up. And there's some things that during the vacation I was at during Christmas I really wanted to do. I'm like, man, oh, man, why did I give that up? And I thought about, I had talked to Ray right before I went on break that last Sunday. I was like, hey, hold me accountable. This is what I'm doing. Sure enough, that brother texted me, how's your fast going? I was like, it's going good, because it was. And then it wasn't. And I'm like, man, should I get out of it? I've never broken a fast. I'm like, man, is there some way I can get out of this? And I'm like, no, man, these brothers ain't going, man, I can't. And I asked my wife, any way I can get out of this? And she did not give me a way out. I'm like, okay, I got to push through. It's good to have advice and accountability. Number three, write. Write it down. Studies show that we're so much more likely to succeed if we write down our goals. And even better, if we post them somewhere, put them somewhere where you can see them, right? That just helps. And number four, commit. Commit. Commit it to the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. We got to make our plans about God. The why really matters. Like, the why we want to do things matters. The motivation really matters to God. Our hearts really matters to God. Is this about you or about Him? About building your kingdom or building His kingdom? Right? Is it about serving others, serving your family, serving His family, the church? Is it about helping to save the lost? If it's not spiritual, then you may need to change your motivation. And people say, so, well, you know, what are your spiritual goals? Well, all our goals should be spiritual, right? There shouldn't be like, well, these are my life goals, these are my spiritual goals. So your life goals ain't spiritual? So your spiritual goals don't affect your life, right? So we need to either change our motivation, which we can, or we can just do something else. I'm so grateful. I'm so inspired by everybody that has pushed start on their passion projects. In the last few years, we've been talking about passion projects. Go after your dreams. And I'm so inspired by all the people that have done that. And our sister Samantha, she wrote a Facebook post not too long ago. And she called out some of our passion projects and really gave a great vision for them. And I wanted her to come up and read her Facebook post. This is our sister Samantha. I thought about reading it myself, but I would not be able to do it justice. So I'll give it up to Samantha to read her post.
Morning. So the post reads, when I was building our website for the Atlanta Dessert Company a few months ago, I got to the bit about the Smash Cakeaholics packages. The first name that I put in was Armani. That's because I always want the best. Truth be told, we'd usually like to buy into an established dream rather than see the potential and help actualize it. Give it a year when Armani's shooting the cover of Vogue and GQ regularly. A short while when The Path, Angel Mike and Jazz are daily viral soundbites calling millions to grow in their spirituality. A few growth spurts and McKenna's entire generation is mobilized to seek, save and send. Sometime soon when Karina's flying private jets to do A-list makeup for the Oscars, then back to do book signings. A moment or two when Oprah talks current topics on Conversate. A little over a fortnight when Afrocentrics goes global and is the biggest name in hair care, full stop. A fringe growth away when it's not worth wearing if it's not luxury lace. A few ticks in time when it's not worth buying, selling, or inhabiting if it doesn't bear the name Charleston. A blink of an eyelid when the lunar limit is bigger than Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon combined. next season, when the Real Housewives up and down the country all become fit moms. Next semester, when a time to create is part of the national curriculum. A brunch party away, and Dafs is catering the Met Gala. A wedding season away, when Laurel Bloom has more customers than the knot. A blink of an eyelid, when Michelle's lashes are the only second to the ones God gave you. A fringe growth away, when last season's Vidal Sassoon is this season's Tina Renee. I see Cakeaholics being bigger than IHOP and the Atlanta Dessert Company being a transnational parent company like Unilever. In all our ventures, I pray that we are connecting the cause. My God put a carpenter's son to work for 3 years. The rest is salvation.
I remember reading that. I was just so inspired. I'm like, that's why we tell people. You never know how somebody's going to help you along the way, even if it's just having a greater vision for your dream than you have. Opening up your eyes. I love it, man. My wife, she went after it this year in 2018. We're going to start Fit Mom ATL. That was great. And I can't tell you how moms come up to me and they're like, hey, that your wife's post really helped me out with this. Or, you know, the women that she's training at the gym are benefiting from that. She's studying the Bible with one of those women now. So, you know, for you, what are your goals? I know there's going to be more passion projects in 2019. Have you started working on them? You know, so much of life is just putting one foot in front of the other, dealing with the challenges as they come up, preparing for the next one as we go. All right, brings me to my second point, and we'll just focus on these two today. Number two is at your pace. Race at your pace. This may have been the single best piece of advice that I got in preparation for my half marathon. I'm going to tell you why in a second. But let's look at scripture real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Many of us know the scripture. We should get to know it. This is the NIV 1984 version, the old school version. You know, that's the one I like it. All right, Uncle D. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. All of us have a race that has been marked out for us, that God requires us to run with perseverance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, amen? We get mixed up, we get messed up when we start focusing on other people more than we focus on Jesus. And we start comparing ourselves to other people, forget that Jesus is our standard. And I know Jazz talked about the entitlement trap last week. I'm going to talk about the comparison trap. The comparison trap. And I've been guilty of it myself. You know, I remember even during the race, I remember getting this advice, and people that have ran marathons told me, hey, listen, just run at the pace you trained at. Okay, run at the pace you trained at. While you were training, keep running at that pace. So I said, all right, multiple people gave me this advice. I'm going to do what they said, right? So in a race, there's a lot of people at the start line. There's like droves of people, right? And I'm kind of, there's my first one. I'm like, should I go to the front? My competitive nature, you know what I'm saying? Or I just be in the mix. Then I, boom, the gun goes off. It's time to go. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to run at my pace. It sounded good. Before I knew it, it was a pack of middle school girls went right past me. Woo! I'm going to let it go. Keep it my pace. I look to my left, and there's a senior citizen hobbling past me. Literally. I mean, that brother was so inspirational. He was getting it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's passing me. Like, he must have been running races for, like, 50 years. Like, I'm just like, and I'm trying to hold it together. I'm trying to be humble. And I did. I trusted the process. Trusted the process. Sure enough, shortly after, I find out as we're running, I see these people turn off on a different race. They were running the 5K. The 5K is 3 miles, maybe 30 minutes. I'm running 13 miles. About two hours. That was my goal, under 2 hours. And so for me, right there, I'm like, man, if I would have compared myself, they were running a whole different race. They were running the pace for their race. Well, I was running the pace for my race. But if I would have started running their pace, I would have been really tired. I don't know if I would ever finish my race. And sometimes we look at people, they're passing us by, and we're thinking, man, oh my God, they're going so much faster. And young people, we struggle with this, especially when we're younger, because we compare ourselves to people that are our age, and we look at the person, the most successful person, right? Mark Zuckerberg, he's my age. It's like, why can he do all this stuff? Why does this person have, why does this person is doing that? And we fall into the comparison trap. So for me, I value perseverance, right? And so for me, my goal was that I was going to run this half marathon straight, right? So I was not going to walk. That was my goal. I was going to run or jog the whole time, and this would be a victory for me. And I wanted to do it in less than 2 hours, right? So when I looked around, I saw other guys that were much stronger, younger, and more fit than myself. And then I saw them walking. So I see these guys that look like they're way better athletes, and they're walking. So I'm like, oh, I'm still running. And then I see them stop for water breaks. So I'm like, they're drinking. I'm like, peace. I'm still running, right? And so what did I do there? Pride. Before I was insecure, now I'm being prideful because I'm elevating myself above these other guys that I'm comparing myself to. And I'm saying, man, they look tough, but they ain't that tough. Only to experience them passing me just a few minutes later. But I value perseverance. So my goal was my measuring stick, right? Even for other people. But I quickly realized there's more than one way to run a race. For them, walking or taking a water break energized them and helped them to keep running at a faster pace for a time. The irony about this was that at the end of the race, I ended up being neck and neck with one of these guys. And we're trotting along, and we found our pace, and we're going, and we're like, okay, you know, it's kind of like the mutual thing. We're going to finish this race together, until I saw the finish line. And I saw that clock was ticking, and so I took off. And I made it 1:59:30. And I got to confess, I also wanted to beat him. But in the beginning of the race, I felt insecure, as others who I deemed inferior seemed to perform better, only to realize they're running a different race. If I had not gotten advice or prepared myself for that to keep a pace, my competitiveness would have pushed me to change my strategy and my plan to go against my training in order to appease my ego. Yep. During the race, I elevated myself and I looked down on others because they had a different strategy. And little did I know, we would finish the race at this about the same time. That's the comparison trap. We look around and we measure ourselves based on other people's races. We either elevate ourselves or we feel insecure. Both are unhealthy. The crazy thing is that because of social media, we tend to look at other people's highlight reels, compare ourselves to the highlight reels, and then look at our actual lives. That's why I like this picture. All you see is what's in the square, but then you look around what's really going on around them. I mean, the baby don't got the pants on. There's food on her. I mean, she's got slippers on, dirty socks. I mean, it's crazy. It's chaos. But we compare ourselves to her highlight reel, not to her actual life. We look at their highlight reel, but our actual life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this: pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Pay careful attention to your own work. We are good at people watching. We spend hours people watching. That's all social media is, people watching. And you know what that does? It distracts us from our own work. That's why some of y'all have not reached your goals. That's why some of us, we don't do the best that we can and we're capable of doing because we're worried about everybody else. And instead of spending the time investing in our work, we're spending time investing in other people's highlight reel. Careful attention to your own work. Because then you're going to experience satisfaction from your work. We're only responsible for our own conduct. And I tell you, realizing this for me, as I have grown into my mid to late 30s, has been so freeing for me to know, man, this is my niche. This is what God has called me to do. I'm going to do the best that I can for me, for my God, for my church, for my family, and letting all the rest of people do what they do, and applauding them and encouraging them, saying, great job. I've realized that God knew what he was doing, creating different people, different gifts, different talents, different missions. Everybody does what they're supposed to do, then we'll be all right. So instead of comparing or competing, we got to train ourselves to be inspired by others. And not just their highlight reel, but their real lives. The highlight and the low light. That means that we have to actually get to know people. Walk with people. Run with people. We got to find a shared pace with the people that God has put in our lives. Because people could be a gift from God to help us finish the race. Starting with our spouse and our children and even our circle of spiritual friends and family members. Those are the people that God has put on in our lives to finish the race. Married couples, we got to find a shared pace. We are one. Run at your pace together. Jazz, we were talking about this sermon. He called marriage a three-legged race. And usually what happens is one of us tries to move faster than the other, which ends up causing friction in the relationship. Some of us, we're like the kid in the red, right? We got to slow down. We got to communicate. We got to work as a team. Some of us are like the kid in the blue. You know, you may have a spouse that's very ambitious. They like taking risks. They like moving forward. They like new things and new goals. Well, my wife understands you. But if you're the kid in the blue, you got to keep up a little bit. You may have to pick up your pace just a little bit. What that means is one person has to go a little slower, one person has to go a little faster, so you can run the pace together. Amen? By the way, that last scripture, Ephesians 6, was actually Galatians 6, about paying careful attention to your work. All right? We know that Ecclesiastes 4 talks about two are better than one, and this applies to friendship as well. This applies to friendship. Like, take an inventory of your friends. Like if you want to have a great circle of friends, you got to find a way to have a shared pace to prioritize the relationship over your own ambition and your own results and your own success. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, this is actually one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Paul says this. He says, now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. He went on to keep looking for Titus. And what this means here is that Paul had the ambition to do something great. What's better than wanting to preach the gospel of Christ, right? And on top of that, there was an open door. So he had the ability to walk through that door and preach the word. But he did not stay because of his relationship with Titus. I've learned over the years to value relationship over results. Because I can do a lot of stuff and be successful at a lot of stuff, but if I'm not doing it with anybody, there's not really a lot of joy in that. And most of us are wired that way for community and relationships. And sometimes we sacrifice so many relationships because we think if we just get to this place, we'll be happy. And we look back and there's nobody around us. And then there's nobody around us when times get hard. and we get mad at people, but we left people behind, right? Good people, people that are healthy for us because we just want to do what we want to do. In order to run our race at our own pace, we got to avoid the comparison trap. We got to find a shared pace. And lastly, we got to rest. We got to rest. Remember my story about people who took a water break, who take time to rest? Some of us need to prioritize taking a break along the way. Some of us, we get excited. We take off at a pace that is not manageable for you, right? Which takes us back to the comparison trap, right? Because we look at people and say, look, that person can handle running 8 companies, and I can't even do my quiet time every day. You know what I mean? It's like, man, this person is doing that. They have so much on their plate. I should be doing all the things they're doing, be as busy as them. You got to find a pace that works for you. Find a pace where you stay healthy in your relationship with God. If you're doing too much, you're doing too much. All right? Find a pace that keeps your family life healthy. All right? You got to figure out what works for you. What is downtime for you? Because we got to imitate Jesus. All right? We don't want to become tired and worn out and even burnt out. And my last scripture I'm going to share with us today is Matthew 11. Matthew 11, I love this passage in the Message version. Verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, what I've learned over the years is the only way really to get burnt out is when we're not connected to Jesus. Because when we're going our own strength, our own wisdom, we're not being like Jesus. We're not tapping into the vine. We're not getting strength from him, and we're not trying to do things the way he does things. Because guess what? God rested on the seventh day. Even God rested. There is a biblical principle known as the Sabbath. There is a reason why God tells us to take a day to rest. Work hard for 6, trust him with the 7th. There's a discipline there where it is a faithful discipline. It's a discipline that says, God, you can work while I'm not working. So as we live the path life, let's make sure we make it about Jesus. We got to make it about Jesus to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, to learn how to live freely and lightly. All right? So P, push start. A, at your pace. Next week, we'll talk about trailblazers and here to finish. Right now, we're going to have communion, and this is a time we get to remember Jesus. We're going to eat a cracker that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. And we're going to drink some grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sin so that we can be free to run our race. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, God. Right now, we want to remember Jesus. We want to celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection, God. And Father, as we eat this cracker, drink this juice, Lord, help us to commune with you and with one another. Help us to remember the motivation as to why we do all the things we do. As Christians, it's because we love you, because we are grateful, God, and because you loved us first. You died for us, God. You freed us so that we can run this race. It is hard. The road to destruction is broad, and many people are on it. But the road to you, the road to eternity, the road to heaven is narrow, and only a few people find it, Father. God, if we are on that narrow road, help us to stay on it. Lord God, if we are on that broad road, help us to find the narrow road today, Lord God, so that we can spend eternity with you and with your people. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.